Nevertheless, let not as I will, but as thou wilt.
God, sir, through heaven, couldn't find one willing to be. The supreme sacrifice that was needed, that would buy eternal life for you and me. Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. Well, I'm so glad he was willing bitter cup, although he prayed, Father, let it pass from me. I'm so glad he never called heaven's angels from these hands, pull the nails that torment me. Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, forever my soul would be lost. Had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul.
Thank you, Sister Bandy. That was beautiful, and it's a beautiful song, and it tells the truth. If it had not been for a man named Jesus, then forever my soul and your soul would be lost. We're thankful again for the privilege to be in the house of the Lord today. And we do desire an interest in your prayers as we stand before you. Anyone have a word before we begin the message? If not, I would like to invite your attention to the 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews for today's lesson. Hebrews chapter 9, we'll begin reading at verse 1, and we'll probably read down through verse 15. Then verily, the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the shewbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was still standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by the means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Now I'm going to stop reading there. I've read the first 15 verses from this 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and I pray that God will bless the reading of his word and that it'll be for our good and for his honor and glory. Sometimes we sing the song, Jesus Paid It All. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. And that is a true song. And I want to take my text today from the third verse of the first chapter of Hebrews, and I want you to notice particularly as I read this verse. is speaking of the Lord Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory, that is the glory of God, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, that when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now I want to emphasize that part of that verse that says, when he had by himself purged our sins. And I want to use as my subject title today, Jesus paid it all. Jesus did everything that was necessary to be done to provide redemption for the human family. He alone was able to do that. And he did that by himself. There was no one that could help him. And so I want you to think with me today as we consider the atonement that Jesus made in our behalf. I read the lesson today about how the atonement under the law of Moses was made. And of course, atonement under the Mosaic economy was a figure. It was a type. It was a shadow. The lesson that I read says that it was imposed upon Israel. Let me turn to this and read it. It says, the Holy Ghost thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, which as the first tabernacle, while as the first tabernacle was still standing, which was a figure for the time then present, which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of the Reformation. Now, the word reform or the Reformation, it has reference to setting the time when things will be set straight. And of course, it was talking about the atonement. Under the Mosaic economy, they had a priesthood. They also had a sanctuary. That sanctuary had two compartments or two rooms. One of the rooms, the Bible says that the priest, in the plural, the priest went into that sanctuary, and they carried on the services of God. I believe this. I believe that if you've been saved by God's grace, I believe that you are a priest unto God. I believe that you can offer up spiritual gifts and sacrifices that are pleasing to the Lord. They are sacrifices of praise and worship. And we can worship the Lord. And they could, back in that day, though they did not worship in the same manner that we do. Their mode of worship was sacrifice of animals. And they did sacrifice, and sacrifice reminded them that they were sinners and that they had need of a Savior. They had need of someone to sacrifice
in their behalf. And the Day of Atonement was an annual event, once a year. On this Day of Atonement, only the high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies. And in fact, if you turn to the 16th chapter of the book of Leviticus, you will read about the procedure that the high priest went through in order to make an atonement for Israel, the nation of Israel. And the Bible says that on that day, no man could be in the tabernacle or the sanctuary but the high priest. He had to do it himself. He offered a sacrifice for himself. He offered sacrifice to the purifying of the sanctuary or the tabernacle. He offered sacrifices for the people. And he had to do the whole thing by himself. He killed the bullock for his own sacrifice. He killed the goat that was to represent the Lord Jesus that gave his life in sacrifice for our sins. He did every aspect of that sacrifice, that ceremony, that ritual that they went through, he did that himself. He had to be prepared to do that. He had to bathe himself. He had to be clean. He had to put on holy garments. He put on a white linen coat and he put on white linen breeches. He had a white linen mitre that he put on his head. And all of this represented the fact that he had cleansed himself. He had washed his body. And he had put on these linen clothes. And he had sacrificed a bullock for his own sins. So he had to be, holy. He had to be without sin. And so he, from a carnal standpoint, now, I want you to understand that. He offered these sacrifices unto God. So he represented Jesus Christ, the high priest that would come. Now, Jesus was, in fact, the only holy man that ever lived on the earth. There have been no other holy men. I might qualify that. Adam was a holy man for a period of time, but he sinned. The Bible says that it was by his transgression that sin entered into the world. And death by sin. But all of his posterity have been sinners. None of us are holy in the flesh. In our natural state, we're unholy. We have all gone astray. And we've all turned to his own way. We are sinners and we stand in need of a Savior. Now, I want to, if I can, by the help of the Lord, I want to try to, I'm not good at this. I know that. I'm not good at preaching on types and shadows. But I feel like it's important that I do so. And so I'm going to try today by the help of the Lord. Now, this said that these rituals that they went through under the Mosaic economy, they were imposed on them until the time when everything was set straight, until the time of the Reformation. Now, the Bible says that the law and the prophets were until John. And since that time, the kingdom of heaven has been preached. Now, the dispensation of the law, it was in effect from the days of Moses until the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. But on the day that Jesus died, the Mosaic economy ended, and the day of grace began. And we are no longer under the law. We no longer make animal sacrifices. And the reason we don't is because all of those have been fulfilled. Jesus was the Lamb of God that came to take away the sins of the world. And I read in your hearing that those sacrifices that they made under the law could never make the one who did the service perfect pertaining to the conscience. It was just impossible because the blood of bulls and of goats and the sprinkling of the blood of a heifer could not take away sin. In the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, it tells us that very thing. For it is impossible for the blood of animals to take away sin. But they did picture what Jesus was going to do when he came into the world. And so Jesus is in fact the Lamb of God. He is the one who was sacrificed that we might have the forgiveness of sin. So I want you to think with me for just a few more minutes about this. Day of atonement under the Mosaic economy, it was done year after year after year after year. It was done as a reminder, you know, the real sacrifice had not yet been made. And so they were commanded to do that year after year. And so the high priest, he would, as I said, he'd kill a bullock as a sacrifice for his own sins, his own carnality. And then he would sacrifice, I believe it was a lamb or a goat, purify the sanctuary, you know. And then he would select two goats. You know, one goat was not able, was not adequate to picture what Jesus would do when he made the atonement. The one goat was killed. His blood was shed for the sins of the people. And the other goat was released, and it went into the wilderness. He laid his hands upon the head of the goat, and he confessed the sins of the people. And then he turned the goat loose, and it went into the wilderness and was never seen again. So that pictured what Jesus did when he made the real atonement. He died for our sins. You're not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Now, he died for our sins. His death satisfied the law, the righteous law of God for sin. And that second goat represented the results or the effects of what the atonement that Jesus made does. In the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we're saved, our blood, our sins are taken away. They are remembered against us no more. They are put behind the back of God, where he cannot see them. The Bible refers to our sins being cast into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. And so on that day of atonement, he killed the goat and shed his blood. He took it into the Holy of Holies, the most holy place. He sprinkled the Ark of the Covenant. And he sprinkled the blood around in there. And then he came out and he sprinkled the sanctuary where the other priests worshiped. And then he sprinkled the blood upon the people. You know, and he did that because of their sins. And he did that year after year after year. But when Jesus died on the cross, he entered into the real Holy of Holies. He entered into heaven itself. And he did it with his own blood. And he presented his blood before the throne of God as a sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. And Jesus could do that, because he was the Son of God. He was sinless. He didn't need, wash his body to remove his carnality, because he was not carnal. He was the Son of God, and he was without sin. He did no sin while he was here in the world. And the Bible said even when he was smitten and he was beaten, he opened not his mouth. He was like a sheep that was being led to the slaughter. He opened not his mouth. He willingly sacrificed himself so that you and I could be free from sin. Now, the first Adam, he plunged the world into sin. And the second Adam, he sacrificed himself to deliver us from sin. And he did that in his own body. And he laid down his life for all of us. I want you to notice 1 Peter chapter 3. And verse 18, there's a verse of scripture there that says this: For Christ also hath once suffered for sins. Now the high priest, he did that year after year after year, because what he did could not take away sin. But Christ also once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Now, Jesus died, but he did not remain dead. He rose from the dead, and he lives, and he, at the present time, is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And there he makes intercessions for us according to the will of God. In fact, the Bible says that God would not have, God would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And there's just one mediator between God and man that can effect that, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. And I noticed Hebrews 9:24, another passage of Scripture that I wanted to share with you too concerning this. And this is what it says: For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, but which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. He is our mediator, and he appears in the presence of God for us. And it says, nor that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others, the blood of bulls and goats and so on. For then must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Put away sin. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So Jesus just made one sacrifice, and it was sufficient because he was without sin. He was the sinless Son of God. Now let me read Hebrews 1 and 3 again this morning. Who, having reference to Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholdeth all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. You cannot help Jesus save you. You know, there are people who go to men and confess their sins, and supposedly they can absolve their sins. It's impossible, folks. One man cannot forgive another man his sins. Now, if you have transgressed against Brother Duran over here, you know, and he is offended, you can go to him and say, Brother Duran, I'm sorry that I offended you. And he can say, that's all right, I forgive you. But no man can present your sins before God except you. And no man can forgive your sins except God. So nobody can help anybody else in that way. Now, you might point people to Jesus. You could say to them, you know, I can't save you, but I can tell you about one that can. His name is Jesus. He's the one who can forgive you. And he can give you a clear conscience, you know, because of his sacrifice. Before I was saved, you know, I felt the guilt of sin and the condemnation. And I knew that I was not right with God. My conscience would not let me feel right in the sight of God. But you know, the day the Lord saved me, I got rid of that. The guilt was removed. I had a clear conscience. I no longer felt condemned in the eyes of God. And only the sacrifice of Jesus can do that for you. Nothing else can. There's nothing else that can. So he said, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And Jesus is sitting there today. But the day's coming when he's going to rise and he's going to descend from heaven. He's coming again because he lives, you know. He died for our sins, and he rose again for our justification. So the day that Jesus made atonement for our sins is the day that God became reconciled to all of us. Now, you're not reconciled to God yet if you haven't been saved. But God is reconciled to you. That's why he loves you. That's why that he deals with you. That's why that his Holy Spirit works in your heart. Because God loves you and he wants you to be saved. And so according to, I believe it's Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, I believe. And I'm looking for that. Now listen to what it says. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, God accepted what Jesus did in our behalf. That's how we got reconciled, how God became reconciled to us, through the sacrifice of Jesus. But now listen, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now listen, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So God was reconciled to the world on the day that Jesus sacrificed himself and he made an atonement for sin. Now an atonement, my friend, is that which makes things right with God. That's what it is. In 1 John, maybe this explains it better than I can. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's sitting up there beside of God right now. And he is the propitiation for our sins, the atoning sacrifice. The one thing, the only thing that can make things right between you and God. He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. I'm so glad and thankful today that the Lord Jesus came to this world and died on the cross. He purged our sins. Purged, you know, purge means cleanse. It means removes. He removes our sins in regeneration. And he cleanses us and makes us right in the sight of God. Now, I'm almost finished, but there's two or three more things I want to say. Now, Jesus, when he... You know, he left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny. He prayed, Father, he said, I want you to show my disciples the glory that I had with you before I came to this earth. Now, when Jesus, you know, he is the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. He is. He always has been. He always will be. But, you know, when he came to this world, he laid aside all of that glory. Just like that high priest, you know, normally the high priest, you know, he wore that that golden crown, you know, that metri, and he had a special suit that he wore, you know. And he had a breastplate that was bedecked with jewels. And he had an ephod that he wore. And on that ephod, he had the shoulder pads, you know, bedecked with jewels. You know, Well, Jesus laid that aside, and he died as a common man. He died as a man. He did not take upon himself the nature of angels. He did not take upon himself, fame and glory. But he laid all that aside, and he took upon himself the nature of man. That's what he did. And Philippians said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, and he took upon himself the form of a servant, and he was made in the likeness of men. And he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And because of that, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow and going to confess to God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. And so he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. He wore a crown. He wore a crown to the cross. But it was a crown of thorns. At one point, he had on a purple robe, a royal robe. Those Roman soldiers, they put that robe on him, put a reed in his hand, and then they bowed down and they mocked him, supposedly worshiping him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but they were actually mocking him. But when he went to the cross, he was not wearing the royal robe. He had his own garments. And before they put him on the cross, they stripped him of his garments. And they hung him on the cross. And this is what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12. I don't think I can start it, but I can find it and read it. Hebrews chapter 12. And this is what it said. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and that's having reference to all those people who are mentioned in that chapter who by faith obtained a good report. They trusted in the Lord and they walked by faith and they did great things for the Lord. And he said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God the Father. There's no way for us to explain, or if we could explain, that anybody could understand the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. He endured it. He endured it. And he despised the shame. Those Roman soldiers, they divided his garments up among themselves. They took them off of him. And there, exposed to the world, his nakedness. His garment, it was one made of one piece of cloth, his outer garment. And they said, well, it'd be a shame to cut this in two, and each one take a piece. So let's cast lots to see who gets it. And they cast lots for his garment. And so the Lord Jesus despised the shame, but he did it. And he did it willingly. He did it willingly. There was no man to help him. No man. Even the disciples, you know what they did? They forsook him. They forsook him. And if, say for example, the beloved disciple John, you know, if he had been crucified alongside of Jesus, somebody would have, you know, said, well, John and Jesus, you know, died for our sins. But it wasn't that way. Jesus alone. Jesus paid it all. I pray God will bless the message today. If you're not saved, Jesus can save you. He's the only one that can. If you'll come to Him, if you'll seek Him with all of your heart, repenting of your sins, asking for forgiveness, and trusting Him, Jesus will take your burden of sin away. He'll give you a clear conscience toward God. And you'll know that everything is right between you and the Lord Jesus. And I pray you'll do it, and you'll do it soon. You can do it today. I mean, you can seek the Lord today. Well, Brother Wayne, I'd like for us to sing Jesus Paid It All. And let's stand as we sing.